Hello, I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church, and I welcome you to Rejoice in the Love of God, the third episode of four in our Advent in the Year of Our Lord 2014 celebration. This homily repeats themes used in the Advent wreath ceremony, which I included in the AIC bookstore publication, Occasional Services for Anglican Worship, and which I used at my former parish of St. Chrysostom. Today's homily, Rejoice in the Love of God, is offered to you as an antidote to the modern corruption of the word love. In New Testament Greek, or Koine Greek, there are many words which can be translated as love, the most common of which is agape. Agape is not just any kind of love, but is a special kind of unconditional love. In the church, it means the kind of love which exists between God and His creation, and which caused Him to send His only begotten Son into the history of mankind to save us from our sins. When St. Paul wrote his first epistle to the Corinthians, and when St. Paul wrote his first epistle, and for both of them in nearly every case in their other epistles, they used the Greek word agape, unconditional love. So whenever I speak of the love of God, I mean agape and not any of the other Koine Greek words which mean love in some form. There are several other Greek words, each of which refers to a limited aspect of love. These words are eros, sexual love, often incorrectly called romantic love, but more often limited to aspects of a sexual relationship. Indeed, it is from the word, from the Greek eros, that we get the whole concept of erotic. There also is philia, most commonly called brotherly love. The city of Philadelphia derives its name from philia and calls itself the city of brotherly love. While in Benjamin Franklin's time, it may have been exactly that, but its crime rate today belies that name. Another Greek word for love is storge, which means familial love. Another is philanthropia, which refers to love of fellow man. It is the word from which we get the concept of philanthropy. Philanthropia is then the basis for the concept of charitable giving. Two other Greek words which mean love are philagoria, which means love of money, also called avarice, and is indeed one of the origins of the sin of covetousness, which is forbidden in the 10th commandment. And finally, philotas, which refers to love of self, which in modern terms is called narcissism. The world is filled with many examples of these other kinds of love. In fact, these examples illustrate the practical application of many of the primary sins identified in the early church. In the world today, as you can see anywhere you look, there is an abundance of sexual love, or more likely just plain lust, and plenty of avarice, or which is just lust applied to money or power or possessions. Indeed, there seems to be very little agape. In early Christian thinking, love, agape, is one of the three primary virtues of faith, hope, and love. Of these, St. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that of the three, the greatest is love. In explaining agape to those churches he founded all over the Mediterranean region, St. Paul taught that love, agape, is the fulfillment of the law in Romans 13:10, meaning of the Mosaic Code. What he means is that if we truly have agape in our hearts, then we will demonstrate in our conduct several of the other words which mean love. We would love one another, which is philia, and will want to be charitable towards others who are in need, which is a demonstration of philanthropia. The words of the Advent wreath ceremony for the third Sunday in Advent remind us that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and that he took upon himself the chastisement that made us whole, and that with his stripes we are healed. This means that he willingly suffered for our sake, and he died for our sins. His incarnation is evidence of God's love for mankind, agape. St. John tells us in his Gospel that God so loved the world that he sent his Son, that's John 3:16, but further explains in John 3:17 that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This then is the real meaning of God's love, agape, not love as a passion for things or objects or self or money or the environment, whether it's birds, trees, polar bears, or ice caps, whether endangered or not. Not love as a lust for objects of a personal nature, not love as physical bodily lust, but as a gift of self-sacrificing love, a gift of love that righted the wrongs done by disobedient mankind since the fall described in Genesis and helped set us on a path toward reconciliation between God and his creation. The blessed Apostle St. John, author of Revelation, and the one who was himself called the beloved disciple, offers insights into love in his first epistle. In the NKJV translation of 1 John, the section titles in chapters 2, 3, and 4 are the imperative of love, the outworking of love, knowing God through love, seeing God through love, and the consummation of love. St. John is crystal clear about where this kind of love comes from. In 1 John 4:16, he wrote, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." At the spiritual heart of Anglican worship is the understanding that this special kind of love, agape, comes to us solely by the grace of God the Father, and that it must be within us if we are to effectively receive forgiveness in the general confession and afterwards be qualified to take the cup of salvation in the Holy Eucharist liturgy. St. Paul said, "The love of God, agape, has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." That's Romans 5:3. Our traditional celebration of Christmas, officially the Nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ, is intimately tied to our belief that the incarnation of God's Son is a gift of love from God to his creation. It is not a reward for our acts of righteousness or works. It is an expression of God's unqualified love agape, and abundant mercy and divine grace. As St. John reminded us, we love him because he first loved us. Jesus himself told us that of all the commandments, loving one another and loving God are the most important. Again this year, our program called The Reflection of the 12 Days of, on the 12 Days of Christmas, one for each of the 12 days from Christmas Day to the night before Epiphany, which is January the 5th, Epiphany being January the 6th, the AIC will offer you new, revised, and expanded versions of our videos and podcasts focused on 12 key theological themes, one for each of those 12 days. It is significant that love, in one form or another, plays an important part in the program. The theme word for the first day of Christmas, Christmas Day, is love. For the second day, it is forgiveness. For the fourth day, it is compassion. The latter two are extensions of love. The theme words for the 12th day of Christmas, January 5th, are grace and faith, both of which, like love, are gifts from God. I hope you will join us online for these 12 productions, which will be linked from our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net, and also can be viewed on our YouTube channel, https://www.youtube.com/user/SaintJohnC. My message today is that you should rejoice in this gift of the Lord and exhibit your faith every day by opening your heart to the Holy Spirit. By doing so, you will have taken a step toward a return to the unabashed emotional truth of the words of Saint Simeon in the 11th century, who wrote that the Spirit is love, the fulfillment of the law, who fills, burns, inflames, embraces our hearts with a measureless love, teacher of the prophets, offspring of the martyrs, inspiration of the fathers, and master, the perfecting of all the saints. Each year at this time, I end the homily for the third Sunday in Advent with this quotation from St. John Climacus from his book, The Ladder of Divine Ascent. Ascend, my brothers, ascend eagerly. Let your hearts resolve to climb. Listen to the voice of one who says, come, let us go unto the mountain of the Lord, to the house of our God, who makes our feet to be like the feet of the deer, who sets us on the high places, that we may be triumphant on his road. Run, I beg you, run with him who said, let us hurry until we arrive at the unity of faith and the knowledge of God, at mature manhood, at the measure of the stature of Christ's fullness, baptized in the 30th year of his earthly age. Christ attained the 30th step on the spiritual ladder, for God indeed is love, and to him be praise, dominion, and power. In him is the cause, past, present, and future, of all that is good, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for joining me for this homily for the third Sunday in Advent, and may God bless you in all that you do in his name. Amen. This has been a production of the Anglican Internet Church. We invite you to visit our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net.